As you may recall from previous teachings on Jesus healing the man born blind, this particular story begins in John chapter 9, verse 1, and it ends at John chapter 10, verse 21. We've worked our way all the way through John chapter 9, which begins with Jesus healing the man born blind, verses 1 through 7, and continues with the neighbor's response to the healing, verses 8 through 12. And then the Pharisees' response to the healing, verses 13 through 34. And finally, Jesus' response to the blind man and to the Pharisees, verses 35 to 41. Today we're continuing the story as found in John chapter 10. And verses 1 through 18 deals with a parable that Jesus tells. And then he explains the parable, with the purpose of affirming his deity, showing his God-given task or responsibility here on earth, declaring his position, and showing his love for God's people. And then at the same time, his parable and explanation are intended to expose the nature, the work, and the position, along with the care of the Pharisees and other religious leaders who have turned against Jesus. In telling and explaining this parable, Jesus gives us three pictures of himself. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the good shepherd. And he is the only one who is both worthy and willing to sacrifice or lay down his life for the sheep. We begin our study of John 10 with Jesus' parable, so I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. They missed the point. Let's pray. Father, speak to us through this parable and in the future through your explanation of the parable. Teach us. Show us more about yourself and your ways and ourselves in relation to that. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to talk about just the parable today and its inferences. Jesus begins by saying, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door. The he here refers to those who, by their own will, and probably for personal gain, assume the role of shepherd or masquerade as a shepherd. He's not talking about true shepherd. The door, as we see from Jesus' explanation in verse 7, is Jesus himself. He's the door of the sheepfold, which means all who are in the category of the he who does not enter by the door are like the Pharisees, who it's probable Jesus was telling this story, this parable, to explain to those who are listening the difference between the Pharisees and himself. So those who do not enter by the door would be like the Pharisees, who assumed the role of shepherding the people as if they were God's appointed and approved shepherds, when in fact they were publicly and personally rejecting Jesus as God's Messiah. And in fact, they wanted to kill him to get him out of the way. So in other words, they came into the sheepfold by a route other than the door. And again, the door is Jesus. So Jesus goes on to talk about the fold of the sheep, and the fold simply represents the safe and secure residence of God's children. Safe in the arms of Jesus, we sometimes sing. And the clear implication is that these, other than the true shepherds, can still get into the sheepfold, even though it's supposed to be the safe place for God's children. And as Jesus points out, they climb up some other way. In other words, they work their way into the sheepfold by a way other than the door. They don't come through Jesus, just as the Pharisees weren't coming through Jesus. They were rejecting Jesus. They were wanting to get rid of Jesus. They were wanting to kill Jesus. And they didn't want the people to believe in Jesus. They didn't want the people to be listening to Jesus. So those who work their way in, like the Pharisees, work their way in through some other door for reasons other than serving Jesus and leading people to repentance, faith in God, salvation through Jesus Christ, godly living, and understanding of the Scriptures and all the other things that go with that. And Jesus says, these kind of people are either a thief or a robber. They're a thief and a robber. So what's the difference? A thief is someone who steals in a secretive, hopefully undetected way. At least that's what the thief hopes. And of course, the thief steals for personal gain. So Jesus says that the self-appointed, not approved shepherds are there to take what does not belong to them for personal gain in a secretive, undetected way. And that's why they fit the category of thief. And good thieves are true artists of their craft. Pharisees weren't bumbling idiots. They were good thieves. They were true artists of their craft. They were able, and a good thief is able to act in ways that make them look like genuine caretakers, genuine shepherds of the sheep, while stealing in ways that are hard to detect. On the other hand, a robber is someone who openly steals. For example, a robber would stand in front of you, pull a gun, and demand your wallet, your wealth, your whatever. They have no worry about getting caught. They're standing right there demanding something from you with the means of getting it. And though it is probable the majority of self-appointed, non-approved shepherds want to be like thieves so they can continue to be undetected, there are some of these self-appointed shepherds who are blatantly con men. They're unethical, openly ungodly, and abusers of the Scriptures, and abusers of their positions. And they do all this for personal gain. If you watch any of the religious programs on television, and you've done that for any amount of time, you've at least observed one or two such so-called shepherds who have been openly unethical, and at the same time being that way for personal gain. It's all as if they have no shame. So, we have these two kinds of unauthorized, unapproved, self-appointed people who want to be in the sheepfold, having some sheep to shepherd. And then Jesus, in verse 2, goes on to say, but he who enters by the door, that is Jesus, is a shepherd of the sheep. The first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus does not say, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He says, is a shepherd of the sheep. Now, though Jesus is the door of the sheepfold in this parable, further down in verse 11 and verse 14, Jesus says that he is also the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, Jesus laid down his life for the well-being of the sheep, which sets him apart from all other, even God approves shepherds. God approves shepherds, haven't laid their life down for the sheep as Jesus did. And no one will. Jesus is the only one. Beyond the Gospel of John, we read in Hebrews 13:20 that Jesus is the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5:4, we read that Jesus is called the chief shepherd. And my point here is that Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, while all other legitimate, God-approved shepherds fall under the category of being a shepherd. That is, one of the shepherds who have come through Jesus, the door, and serve under Jesus in caring for some of the sheep. And you'll notice as we go along, a shepherd does not call out all the sheep, just those that know his voice. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. And again, that doorkeeper is Jesus. So when one of the shepherds responsible for some of the sheep comes through Jesus, that is, believes in Jesus and lives according to Jesus' teachings, then Jesus opens the door and lets them in. And again, let me remind you that this does not mean self-appointed and non-approved shepherds are kept out. They just didn't come through the door. They have gotten a way in other than through the door. So what is the implication of these words from Jesus? What's the significance of coming through the door, coming through Jesus? Well, I want to give you just two implications. You can find more if you like. First, true God-approved shepherds come through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, through recognizing Jesus for who he is, through responding to Jesus as they ought to respond, through listening to Jesus, through living according to the teachings of Jesus. True God-approved shepherds come through Jesus, unlike the Pharisees, and unlike those in our own day who are self-appointed shepherds with questionable motives. So that's the first, I believe, important implication. And the second one is the sheep. So listen carefully, because I'm talking to you. The sheep are able to discern if their shepherd is a true God-approved shepherd. In other words, that shepherd came through the door. Or a self-appointed shepherd. That's the second implication I want to point out. What Jesus is implying here is that you are able to discern if the leaders over you are true God-approved shepherds. They came through the door, or self-appointed shepherds. And we'll see the importance of this in the next part of this verse. So let's go on to that. And the sheep hear his voice, Jesus says. Whose voice? The voice of the true shepherd that has responsibility for that group of sheep. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, this is, to me, both a profound and challenging statement, because its implications touch you and me at the core of our faith in God and at the core of our understanding of Scripture. And at the core of our personal spirituality. So there are two parts to the profoundness of this statement. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. First, this statement assumes that you, the sheep, have enough spiritual insight and understanding to discern the voice of your individual shepherd. That is, the pastor, the elder, the leader, in your local group or church or Bible study, who God has entrusted with your care. That's the first pretty profound statement. Paul makes a similar statement in Romans chapter 12, where he tells us that we have the ability to discern the gift that God has given us and the measure of faith God has given us to exercise that gift so that we can fit into the church, into the body of Christ, in the proper place. Boy, that's pretty profound too, isn't it? It's amazing the abilities we have that God in the scriptures just assumes we're able to exercise. And in assuming you already have this ability to discern the voice of your individual shepherd, it assumes that you also have the ability to reject or ignore the voice of anyone who attempts to act as your shepherd or tries to lead you to places that will harm you spiritually and stunt your growth. To discern the difference between good teaching and bad teaching. In other words, Jesus assumes that true sheep have the ability to tell the difference between true shepherds and those pretending to be true shepherds. An example of Jesus assuming true sheep have this ability and then praising them for exercising it is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Where Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. And he says, he commends the Christians in Ephesus who have put to the test those who called themselves apostles, and they found them to be false apostles. This is not the leadership of the church. This is you, the attenders of the church. These folks put to the test those who called themselves apostles and found them to be false apostles and dealt with them accordingly. Which to me implies that the Ephesus Christians exposed the false apostles and then refused to follow them and hopefully drove them out of the church. As an example of Jesus assuming true sheep have this ability and judging them for failing to exercise it, this is found in the letters, again in Revelation 2 and 3, in the letters to the church in Pergamum and Thyatira, where Jesus condemned them for allowing bad and misleading teachers into the church and for following their teachings. Why would he condemn them if he believed they didn't know how to judge accordingly? The assumption is they did know how to judge, they just did not do proper judging. And my point here is that you too can put to the test and discern if someone who is calling you to follow him or her, you can discern if he or her is a true Christian and a true approved servant of Jesus Christ, or if he is a self-appointed, not approved worker masquerading as a legitimate shepherd. There's a lot of Christian literature, both audio and written, video, in our country today. Are you aware of what is really there? It was the Bakers were on television for a number of years, and many Christians that I know of not only praised them for their work, but supported them financially and traveled to their ministry. For me, I could not believe that we would actually buy into this, and ultimately it came to light what they really were and what they were really doing. Why did so many in the church get taken in? I don't know for sure. But I do believe that what God is telling us is that you have the ability not to be taken in, no matter how good it looks. You may have to do some thinking. You may have to do some praying. You may have to do some evaluating according to the rest of the Word of God. But we have the ability not to be taken in. And we see from the book of Revelation and these letters that God not only expects us to use this ability, but he holds us accountable for how we use it. The second reason that this statement is profound is because it assumes the shepherd in charge of caring for those sheep under his care knows them by name. Now, I really like traveling with my wife because she remembers everybody's name. And I can always ask her, honey, what's that person's name? I got into a conversation a week ago Saturday. I was walking through a room. A man came up to me and he started talking to me. And, I mean, he knew me. And he was talking to me as if we had other conversations. And I had no idea who he was. Absolutely none. Now, I stay in the conversation and I pretended to... I made sure I said nothing that gave away the fact that I had no clue who he was. And finally, I had to go because of I was headed someplace. And I said, you know, I really have to go. I'm really sorry. And Ben Carberry was at a table nearby, and I said, I need to check with Ben before I leave. So I walked over to Ben, and I said, Ben, who was that man I was talking to? He said, it was my father. I played pickleball with him, didn't even remember who he was. The implication here is that the shepherd knows everyone he's responsible for by name. But it's not that he knows everyone's name. Because to know the name is to know each sheep well enough to lead them and help them and work with them and exhort them and pray for them in ways that increases their ability and likelihood of growing into a strong, mature, adult Christian. To know their name is to know about them. Notice Jesus does not say each sheep knows its name. The important thing is not that you have to know everything about yourself, but that the shepherd knows about you. The reality is you may not know what you need to grow as you ought. You may not know how to pray as you ought. You may not understand parts of Scripture or how to use and apply those parts of Scripture as you ought. You may not see all your weaknesses or foolish ways or thinking and living as you ought. You may not see your areas of unbelief. But your shepherd should know. I should know. Or at least your shepherd should have a good enough idea to be helpful in leading you Godward and away from harm. Now for me, this requires shepherding a group small enough, or me, small enough to know each one well enough to do this kind of shepherding. And so what Christ is saying is that there's this responsibility, and it goes two ways, not just one way, it goes two ways. You have a responsibility that demands a good and proper use of your spiritual abilities in discerning who is a true shepherd and who isn't of those who are trying to get you to follow them. And I have a responsibility that requires the kind of relationship with each of you that gives me insight into what you need to become a godly, mature Christian. Moving on to verse 4. In the first part of verse 4, Jesus continues describing the qualities of a true shepherd. And then in the second half of verse 4 and on into verse 5, Jesus continues talking about the qualities of true believers, true sheep. Here's what he says. When he, that is the shepherd, puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. A legitimate shepherd leads the people under his care. That is, he leads them and takes them and helps them travel to places he has already gone. Which explains why he knows the way and why he knows what is actually there. Maps, GPS, those are all wonderful things. They're very helpful. But a legitimate shepherd has already been where he's leading you. The reality is, I can teach you all there is to know about truths in God's Word or about the importance of theology and how to understand it and apply it. But I cannot lead you or show you the way to where I have not already gone. And the only way I can know what is actually there where I'm leading you is to have gone there myself already. I know about anger and about its destruction in my life. I know what the Word of God says about it. I know how to fight it. And the things that I have to get rid of in my life just to get rid of the anger. Because the anger does not reside in me by itself as if it's a closed entity. That anger is the result of a number of other things in my life that don't belong there. And I know what is on the other side of having dealt with anger. I know because I've been there. I've traveled this path. So when I talk to you about anger, I know what it's about, that it's larger than just a single entity in your life. And that if you're responding to something that's maybe deserves a level 2 and with a level 4 or 5, it's because you're carrying anger with you. I know all this because I've been there. I've had to work through it. I've had to die to the things that drive anger. And I know how good life is without that anger because I've been there. That's leading the sheep. I can't take you there. I can tell you about getting rid of anger. I can tell you about what might be out there, but I don't know unless I've been there myself. And if I'm going to lead you, I need to have been there myself. What this means is I have a responsibility to God and to you to continue growing and living according to God's will and word so I can help you continue growing and living according to God's will and word. And just as you are not stationary in your faith, hopefully, I cannot be stationary in my faith. We cannot go so far and then stop. There is no stopping. I must keep going to stay ahead of you, and you must keep coming along to keep up with me. That's leading the sheep. Which means you have the responsibility to discern if I'm taking you someplace I've already gone, or if I'm only talking about something I know exists but haven't yet gone there. You can read, you can hear, you can watch a lot of things. Has the person who's teaching you, leading you, been there? You have the ability to discern that. And then Jesus says, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Here Jesus returns to talking to you, the sheep of the fold. And what he says here is that true sheep, those who are born again and growing in godliness, know if the one leading them is a true shepherd or a thief or a robber, masquerading as a shepherd. And if the sheep discern that the one leading them is a true God-approved shepherd, they follow him. That's what born-again believers do. They follow the right shepherd. And they follow him in order to go where they need to go, in order to become the kind of adult, mature sheep God has saved you to be. Verse 5. A stranger they simply will not follow. Well, that's quite a statement. Especially when we look at the body of Christ or the people who attend church, not only in our country but around the world, people have followed some pretty strange leaders. They've gotten involved with some pretty strange things. But Jesus says, a stranger, they simply will not follow. Well, what is a stranger? A stranger is any leader who teaches a strange gospel, who focuses on selected portions of God's word while ignoring or explaining away other important portions, or who does not practice in his own life what he teaches in the church, or who is openly proud, or who fights for power and control. Just to name a few things. In other words, true believers will not be taken in by the Pharisees or the current religious leaders whose message lacks agreement with God's word and whose life does not match up to their message. How well do you know the people you're following? I've often thought over the years, we filled the Silver Dome with people going to hear Billy Graham. But I've known a few very godly people. You couldn't fill our living room with people wanting to hear them. And what a shame. Billy Graham's famous, and I have nothing against going to hear him. I think that's a wise thing to do. But my point is, we are more inclined to go hear somebody that's famous rather than find somebody that's truly godly and go listen to them. Not that Billy Graham isn't godly again, let me cover that. But get my point. If it's a famous speaker, if it's a famous conference, it's a famous this or a well-known that, we're there. Do we know who's really godly? Do we care? Would we seek out those who are less known, less treated as important within the church? Because they really know God and listen to them. Without question, true believers will recognize Jesus as the true Messiah or Savior and recognize legitimate shepherds who are serving Jesus. And they will also recognize those who are not serving Jesus but serving themselves, seeking fame or power or profit or some other thing. And Jesus goes on to indicate the response of true believers to false and self-serving leaders who are masquerading as good, God-approved shepherds when he says that you will flee such leaders because you do not know the voice of strangers. It's not just recognizing, but it's running away from them, Jesus says. It's good to recognize. That's important. That's vital. But we ought to also run away. Why? Because their influence can taint us and our understanding and our growth. You see, true believers fear false teachers. True believers fear bad leadership. True believers fear unbiblical teaching. True believers fear church leaders who are in the position of shepherd but do not belong in that position, because they know the harm done by such leaders, and they know that that harm far exceeds any possible good that we could gain from them. So they flee. Verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. If we live and gather together next Sunday, we will continue on with John 10. Because Jesus goes on to explain to those who are listening what he talked about so they could understand it. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you to consider your God-given ability and your responsibility to discern who you are and who you will listen to. Are you a true sheep? Will you only listen to God-approved, God-appointed shepherds? What will you read? What will you watch? Who will you follow? My recommendation is that we, you and me, we together will be praying for and working for the spiritual health, the godliness, the maturity of the church, that we would care for that, care about that and work for that.